Once again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you're here for the first time or you've just begun attending, we're pleased that you're here, and those of us who are here on a regular basis want to greet you, shake your hand, but if we don't get to you quickly enough, you come and introduce yourselves to some of us because we love it that you're here. We would love it if you would make a home here with us. One really major way to do that is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots of that information in your bulletin inserts. I'm going to lift up a few things here. Every Thursday during Lent at noon, we have our Lenten concert. The concert lasts about a half hour. Then there's a lunch for about a half hour, or as long as you feel like you can stay if you don't have to rush off. If you would make your reservations by calling the church on Wednesday, that would be very helpful. Also, our great day of service is coming up at the end of this month. There is a table out in Reed Hall. You can sign up for any number of activities on that great day of service. Hope you'll do that. Also, our 30-hour famine is coming to its close. Our youth emphasis, they've raised $9,400 of their $12,600 goal. If you would like to contribute to that, you may do so either online or writing a check to World Vision and dropping it in the offering plate or dropping it at the table in Reed Hall. Tazay service this evening at 5 p.m. in the fourth story theater. If you've never attended Tazay, it is a very quiet and contemplative service. It's a time of music and prayer. And if your life is as busy and noisy as mine, you need those times. So 5 p.m., 4th Story Theater, today. Also, I want to remind you of our Promise for Haiti offering that's going on throughout Lent. We are helping to support nurses at the hospital in Pignon in Haiti. And $7,000 will support one nurse, $14,000 support two, $21,000 will support three. So throughout Lent, we are continuing to collect for that particular missional project. Also, I want to remind you that immediately following the service today, around 12:10, depending on how long the preacher goes, we will pick up and have the concert we intended to have that was snowed out two Thursdays ago. Our own Matt Phelps will be playing that concert. You'll find the music that will be included in your bulletin. So I hope you'll be able to stay for that. Again, it'll be about a half hour, and then you can slip out for lunch. If you need to slip out before that, you're welcome to go on. But we hope that many of you will stay for that as well. And finally, we want to know where you're serving. So there's a board in Reed Hall with some stick pins, and there are lots of areas of service around various agencies we support and partner with. And we would love it if you would stop there and put one of those push pins in those places where you are already serving. You know, it's really easy sometimes to be overwhelmed by everything that comes at us in life, to feel almost bruised and broken, to feel like we're about burnt out. The good news is, there is someone who comes to us who will not break a bruised reed, who will not extinguish a wick that's just about to burn out. That's why we're here. That's who we're here to meet. As if you didn't already know, his name is Jesus.
Even
Gracious and merciful, gracious and merciful.
have been called by God.
Gather here this day.
We hope that God's Spirit
will be upon us all
as we strive to be
a light to all nations.
Please be seated. Now please join me in the prayer of confession. O Lord, our God, we know that you have chosen us to be your servants, and yet so often we forget. We know you have called us to bring justice to all, and yet so often we have failed. We know that you have made us to be a light in this world, and yet so often we have chosen not to shine. We know that you have poured out your Spirit on each of us, and yet we have missed this power within us. Forgive us, we pray. Hear this good news. The God who gives us breath for life and spirit to live promises to take us by the hand and keep us, forgiving all and bringing us back into right relationship with God and one another. Amen.
Oh,
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Cole Elliott Gustafson and Jenny Redding Gustafson bring their son, Oliver Dell Gustafson, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I have a few questions. Jenny and Cole, I ask you on behalf of the church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves to you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Answer by saying, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in Christian faith and life and include this child before you now in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ.
We will surround this child with the key to our love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this wonderful child who receives it, to wash away his sin, to clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. What name is given this child?
Oliver Dell.
Oliver Dell. Good to see you. Oliver Dell, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If everyone will lay on hands, we'll pray for Oliver. Oliver Dell, may the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's walk out to the church. Who wants to carry him?
Will the congregation please stand and face Oliver Dell? Now it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Oliver Dell to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Oliver Dell, and we welcome you in your Christian love. As members together, and in this congregation, united.
is Jesus.
Seated. Now let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth. And the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it and spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison, those who sit in darkness. The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to join us up here, you're welcome to come. If you'd like to bring a parent, that's okay too. Come on up and have a seat and join us. Yeah. This coming week, there's a very special holiday coming up, and it's special to us as Christians because it's named after one of our saints, Saint Patrick. I have some things to tell you about Saint Patrick. Because you see, on St. Patrick's Day, people will wear green and they will say that everyone is Irish on St. Patrick's Day, except St. Patrick wasn't Irish. Sorry, guys. He was born in Britain. Now, we don't know if it's what we now call Wales or now call England, but he was born on the island of Britain, and he was kidnapped and taken as a slave to Ireland. He had to work. He didn't get paid. He got fed very little. He had to keep sheep. One day, he got so tired of this that he ran away. He ran off to the seacoast, and he caught a ship back to his homeland in Britain. Now, before he had gotten kidnapped, when he would come to church, because he was a Christian, when he would come to church, he was just kind of bored, and he'd sit and look around and wonder when that preacher was ever going to get done and wonder what he was going to do after the service. But after he got back from being a slave, he took God and his faith more seriously. So much so that not only did he begin to attend church again, but he went and studied to be a priest, to be a pastor, so he could lead worship the same way that we up here do. Then one night he was sleeping and had a dream. And in the dream, someone from Ireland came to him and said, "Come and walk among us again, holy boy." Well, he woke up and he thought, "This must be crazy. Those were the people who kept me as a slave, who made me work for nothing. And God's calling me to go over to them?" But he did. He went back to Ireland. And the interesting thing is, he didn't go with an army. He didn't go with any weapons. He simply went to talk about the love of God and to show the love of God through what he did. Now, that doesn't mean he was shy, and it doesn't mean he was weak or a coward at all. He was in some very dangerous situations, but he depended on God to be with him. And before Patrick died, guess what? He had ended slavery in Ireland. There were no more slaves in Ireland. Now, you will hear stories about him driving snakes out of Ireland. That's a legend. That's not really historically accurate. There were no snakes in Ireland to begin with, okay? But he did end slavery in Ireland, and I think that might even be more important, huh? And he did it following the example of Jesus. He didn't force people. He simply shared God's love in such a way that they wanted to be different. They wanted to change. Now, I'm going to be talking about God's dream for us, which I think is like the dream that Patrick had of ending slavery. And when I talk about that dream, maybe you can imagine how you fit into that dream the way Patrick fit into that dream. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for letting us be a part of your great dream for this world. Thank you for giving us examples like Patrick. Thank you for showing us the way through Jesus. Thank you for giving us the strength and courage to be the people you want us to be and to live out your dream with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming down. Imagine you're in a room where God is holding court. There's no panel up front. There's only one, the God of Israel. The other gods of the world are gathered. The other nations of the world are gathered round. But God is holding court in order to find an ambassador, an emissary, someone to represent the God of Israel. Now, this is really an advancement over the earlier idea that every tribe had their own God, okay? There was the God of the Babylonians, the God of the Persians, the God of Israel, the God of this group and that group. But our understanding of God had progressed to the point that we came finally to know that there was only one God, the creator of heaven and earth, all that is, the giver of life and breath, and that even the other so-called gods were under that God. And so Isaiah, this is 2nd Isaiah, okay? This is Isaiah speaking to a group of people not who were about to be exiled, but who had been exiled. A group of people who were already suffering under the burden of being away from their homeland, having their place of worship destroyed. And so some scholars believe that when God speaks of my servant, my chosen one, God is speaking of Cyrus. Cyrus, who will come in and allow the people to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, begin to rebuild the temple. But I don't think that's right. Because you see, if Cyrus did that, Cyrus would do that the way kings always do it. They get their army, they get their weapons, they overwhelm the country they move into, they slaughter the people, they take over whatever they want and destroy what they don't want. That's the way Cyrus would have operated and did operate. But did you hear how this servant was described? This servant is not one who even makes a big show of what he's doing. He's not a street preacher, okay? He's not somebody out there shouting, holding up a sign, the end of the world is near. And he's not somebody on television shouting, send me your money. He's not even some preacher standing up in front of a group of people talking, expecting them to listen. No. This emissary is so gentle that if he comes upon a bruised reed, he handles it in such a way that it doesn't even break. When he comes upon a wick that's about to go out, he handles it with such care that it doesn't even extinguish. This is an emissary of God who works in gentle, protective, caring ways. I think Isaiah is talking about Israel, with whom God has made covenant, not for their own sake, but for everyone else, for the nations, to be an example to everyone about how God wants us to be God's people in the world. Now, is it any wonder, though, that when the followers of Jesus saw their hope of the world, their rabbi, their teacher, their master, instead of fulfilling the image that most people carried of a Messiah who would come in and conquer the Romans, who would come in and establish a new kingdom, who would be more like a Cyrus, and destroy what he didn't want and take what he did. Their teacher instead wound up being humiliated and tortured and executed as a criminal and died speaking words of forgiveness to the very people who had nailed spikes through his wrists. Is it any surprise that when they looked through the lens of his life, they saw the person Isaiah described? Someone who didn't come with weapons, didn't come with armies, who handled his followers so gently that even though they were bruised, they didn't break. Even though they felt burnt out, even though they felt like they were at their wits or perhaps wick's end, they would not extinguish. No wonder they saw Jesus there. No wonder St. Patrick saw Jesus there. Why would anybody return to the country that had enslaved them? And if they did, why would they not return to punish them, to exact vengeance, but instead to come and share the love of God, the transforming light and love of God with them? That's what Patrick did. And his example, of course, was Jesus. Patrick was that kind of emissary, as was Jesus, as we are all, as servants of God, called to be. Now, during Lent, we're focusing on a theme from Micah, actually. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. And the emissary that Isaiah is describing is doing just that. And Patrick did just that, following the example of Jesus, who did just that. who came in a way that offered care and help and hope, not coercion, not violence, and literally transformed Ireland, in Patrick's case, and the world, in the case of Jesus Christ. God's dream for the world is a dream of justice. We've already talked about what that word means before. Justice in the Hebrew Bible means everyone has what they need. Housing, clothing, clean water, food, health care, someone to care about them. That everyone has what they need, at least the basics. And this is what the prophets call us to. And sometimes they're pretty harsh about that. And at other times, like Isaiah, they're pretty hopeful about that. And this is one of those hopeful passages, inviting us into God's dream. But we don't come into God's dream with our swords pulled. And we don't come into God's dream with our guns blazing. And we don't come into God's dream forcing other people to believe the way we believe. We walk into God's dream in such a way that even if a plant is bruised and almost broken, we handle it so that it doesn't break. I remember when I was a kid helping my dad in the field, and we would take a staub, a little piece of stick, and stick it down there and put some seeds in, and then sometimes we would put a slip in, a little plant in, and you had to handle those plants carefully, because if they got broken, they would die. It's a nurturing image. Oh, you can just force the plant in the ground, but it'll die. But if you make the hole with that stub and you put it in the ground and you deal with it carefully, it will live and flourish. That's the image I carry around in my head when I hear Isaiah say that a bruised reed he would not break. I don't know if you all remember, some of you will. On Christmas Eve, I was supposed to light the Christ candle. Big part of the service. I got the candle lighter that John used earlier, and I went over and I had it ready to go. I put the fire on the wick and I pulled it away, and the whole wick came off with it. There was no wick left to light. It was not going to be lighted. I felt like all of those acolytes I've seen across the years who've tried to light a candle and couldn't get it going, right? Or sometimes when the wick is so short that it will burn, but it will just barely burn. And you have to wait until it melts the paraffin around it to the point that it can actually flourish. That's the kind of care the people of God are supposed to take as they share the good news. That's the kind of care that we are supposed to take when we take the good news into the world. Did you hear what we just promised in the baptism? We will live according to the example of Christ. That's serious business. Those are serious promises. But we are invited to live into a dream called justice, or what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And it's not something that comes after you die. And it's not something that comes at the end of time. It is something that is here and present now. God's dream is being enacted now, and we're invited to be a part of that. It's supposed to become our dream. Let me tell you a story about that. Back in the early 1980s, when I was serving in Columbia, Tennessee, had a wonderful secretary there. Her name is Catherine Bolton. And Catherine was one of these real characters, one of these larger-than-life individuals. She still is, actually, although she slowed down a little bit across the years. And she had flaming red hair. She would quickly admit, out of a bottle. And she always seemed to have this huge energy going on about her. After I left the church, she would call the church I was serving, and she would say, "You tell Michael Williams the best-looking red-headed secretary he ever had is calling." That's Catherine. Catherine one day, as we were having coffee and several of us were sitting around, shared a dream that she had had. In the dream, she was walking through the church there at Columbia, and as with many older churches, it's an older building, there had been parts built on after the original sanctuary, and so there was a wing there that had rooms for children's classes. And in her dream, she was walking up the hallway that contained the rooms for children's classes, and she looked in the first room, and when she looked in, every single child in the class had some kind of disability, some kind of challenge. They couldn't hear, they couldn't see, they were in wheelchairs, they had crutches, every single one. And she thought to herself in the dream, isn't that nice that the church has a place for folks who have challenges getting around? And she walked up to the next room and looked in, and every single child had some kind of challenge or other. And the same was true when she looked in each and every room all the way along the hallway. And as we talked about it, we realized she had had a dream about the church. Not the little C church, the big C church. Because you see, we all come with our challenges. We all come with our disabilities. And we are welcomed. Well, it was several months after that that it was my turn to preach. I was an associate. It was my turn to preach. I stood up to preach, and I began to tell about this dream, but I began to tell about it as if it were mine. And I wasn't being duplicitous at all. It had apparently sunk into my psyche to the extent that it felt to me like it was my dream. And right in the middle of it, I looked out at Catherine, and I not only thought, but I said, oh my God, this is Catherine's dream. This isn't my dream. And so I had to confess. She gave me permission to tell whenever I wanted to after that. But isn't that what God wants for us? That God's dream of justice, God's dream of everybody having everything they need, becomes our dream? So much so that we think we dreamt it in the first place? That we think it's ours and we own that dream? Just like I felt like I owned Catherine's dream? Because after all, folks, we all do come with our challenges, our brokenness, our disabilities, and we do all need someone to welcome us as we are. Not pretending to be someone else, but as we are. Truth be told, we are all bruised reeds, aren't we? And we want someone who will handle us so we don't break. Truth be told, we all feel just that close to being burnt out. And we want somebody who will handle us in such a way that the fire isn't extinguished and the light isn't extinguished. Isn't that what we all yearn for? Well, God has a dream for all people to experience that. And we're a part of that dream, invited into it to be God's servants, ambassadors, emissaries, following the example of Patrick, following the example of Jesus, following the example of a God who deals with each and every one of us in just that way. Thanks be to God. We remind ourselves of God's dream in many ways. One of those is by affirming our faith. And so I invite you to stand as you're able. Turn to number 886 in your hymnal. Your responses are in the bold print. We believe in God, the creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort.
We believe.
We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, and reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough, in all responsible use of the earth's resources. We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. You are invited to join us for a time of fellowship following the worship service in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find a fresh baked treat for you and also some information about the ministries of this church. If you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, you are invited to meet with the student community and eat lunch together in room 322, also known as the Fireside Lounge. The students gather each week for faith discussion and fellowship together. I invite you to take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. In the pew rack, you will find a gray card. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. If you would like to receive a call from a staff member about your comment, please check the box on the card and note your contact information. The other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. Please indicate on the card if these requests are to be shared with the congregation or kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Today we celebrate the birth of Beckham James Morrell, who was born Friday, March 6th, to Mark and Catherine Morrell. He is welcomed also by his big brother Camden Morrell and his grandparents James and Susan Sandlin. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Let us pray. Sisters and brothers, confident in God's love and mercy, let us pray for the world and for our needs to the one who is mighty to save. We pray for all leaders and people, that by the power of your cross, all violence, domination, and injustice in our world will be driven out as we are drawn closer to Christ. We pray for our war-ravaged world, and that you, O God, would teach us to walk together in your way of righteousness and peace. We pray that you will call the church to bear the fruit of action as we hear the cries of pain and suffering of those in need regarding health care, hunger, homelessness, education, and incarceration. We pray for the poor, the terrified, and the oppressed, and those who are too much alone, that they may find a home in you as we serve them in your name, compassionate God. And as your Son Jesus anticipated his death in light of your steadfast love, may all who have died or who are dying be at rest in your eternal care. Through Christ, with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we glorify you, Almighty God, with unending thanks and praise as we pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let the giving of God's tithes and our offerings be a tangible way of bearing witness to the good news of the gospel.
Three quick reminders. First of all, your Lenten email should be in your inbox tomorrow. Check it out. Please put where you're serving on the board in Reed Hall. And in just about 10 minutes, we will begin the concert with our own Matt Phelps, which will be the concert that would have happened two Thursdays ago had it not snowed. And now I send you forth to follow the example of St. Patrick, who was following the example of Jesus Christ, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that the God of the cosmos is with you, Jesus Christ, God's love walking among us, is with you, and the Holy Spirit that empowers us to walk in Jesus' way is with you and will be with you now and forevermore. Go in peace.